This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Ryan Sprague is with us. He's author of Somewhere in the Skies. And that's where the book copies are right now. You have to go up there and fly. Up, up, and away, and they get the book. No, you can buy it and usual suspects, and you can get the ebook version and all that. So that's not a problem. We're just giving him a hard time because that's what we're here for, to give our guests a hard time. Goggs, you were starting something.
Yeah, we're going to go into questions now, Gene, from the forum.
You know what? I got an idea. Let's go into questions from the forum.
Let's do that. I've got a question here from Angelo, also known as Angel Lauren, who's been a member since 2009. He's one of old school, for sure. And his question for Ryan is, for your book, you interviewed dozens of people, and in doing so, are there links between the various experiences that took you by surprise? Also, as one of the younger voices in the field, is there anything you feel can be done to calm the animosity that seems to exist between some of the long-time ufologists?
Those are two very different questions. I'll answer the first one in terms of patterns or, you know, things I found in the book. Again, I think I spoke earlier about this, is there were not many patterns I could come up with. These events are extremely messy. They are non-chronological. There was very little repeatability in terms of what people experienced or reported to me. The only things I could sort of come up with in terms of that was the implication and that it was life-changing. And the other one, I would say, would have to be that it happened within families, that one person had an event, and then another, and then another, and it was traced throughout the generations. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case, but those were sort of the core patterns I found with these individuals. And also, a lot of them were anti-ETH, which I think was most surprising to me, is they didn't say to me, aliens took me. Aliens were piloting that UFO. Aliens were involved with this. It was, I had a weird experience. Something took me onto a craft and did something to me, or something was over my head and I could sort of have a telepathic communication with it. And never the word alien was used with most of these people. So I found that very fascinating, Goggs, in terms of a pattern, was that how low the ETH was on that scale of individuals. Very intriguing. In terms of the other question, the animosity within the UFO field, you know, I knew that full well going into it. Peter Robbins warned me of this very early on in my UFO research and trying to get into this field, break into it, as it were, this self-appointed field we find ourselves in. The animosity has always been there. I feel it's subsiding, but you do have a big age gap when it comes to this. A lot of people don't feel there are younger people looking at this, and I beg to differ. There are many young individuals in the field, their voices just haven't been heard yet. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do. If I'm considered one of the younger people, Greg Bishop believes I'm in my 20s. I'm very honored, but I am 33. If that's considered young, we got to try to get younger people. I think they're out there and they're sharing information because they know how to use that technology, social networking, and really come up with some new, fresh ideas. Again, the nuts and bolts ufology is a thing of the past. We respect it. We work off of it, and we try to ask new questions. So in terms of animosity, I don't see that as much these days when dealing with the new, quote-unquote, generation of UFO researchers. We're all just trying to, you know, stand on the shoulders of these giants before us and find answers.
Okay, so with this new generation of younger guys, are there any that you may have highlighted personally to yourself, you know, that you could see maybe in 30 years joining the ranks of the Captain Curmudgeons that we have? They're not jaded enough yet, you know, you can't tell who's going to go down that dark path.
Not yet.
Let's go to another question then, and this got a crazy question here, a crazy question that we respect, and this is from Erno86, who's been a member of the forum since 2014, and his question is, do you have any opinions about the possibility of highly intelligent, sentient, warm-blooded, dinosaur-eyed humanoids, which is kind of a bit of an oxymoron, dinosaur-eyed humanoid, anyway, existing on habitable planets and other star systems? Do we have, what's that purple dinosaur kids program?
Barney.
Yeah. Barney, yes. Is there a planet Barney somewhere?
Oh, wow, that is a loaded question. Do I have an opinion on that? I'll answer that first. Sure. I'd love to have an opinion on anything, to be honest. In terms of do I believe that's out there? Sure. Why the heck not? We spend all our time looking at this phenomenon in many different ways. Why can't there be a planet? Why can't there be an alternate universe where there is an entire planet full of dinosaur humanoids? I have no
Seriously, the thing about dinosaurs is, to me, it actually makes sense that there could be intelligent reptilian species, because we always say that the oldest part of the human brain stem is the reptilian brain.
Right.
And so if there was reptiles and dinosaurs millions of years before humans, so in a way, it could kind of make sense that a reptilian's kind of a line of evolution would come to sentience and have some kind of intelligence, possibly long before any humanoid. So maybe that's why there is so much snake symbology and reptile symbology that's either our nemesis or whatever, going back into you know, ancient lore or whatever. It's always been there, this thing about the reptiles. And to me, it makes perfect sense that there could be advanced reptilians even on Earth.
I'd have to agree. Maybe there's some astrobiologist out there who's looking at this as we speak. I do agree with you. You know, you look at the natural evolution of this planet, this habitable planet of humans, reptiles, and many other different species, and that is very possible. If we find other habitable planets like Earth, possibly there is a version that did not involve humans so much as it did reptile, or some sort of hybrid of that. I can definitely not discount that theory for sure. I think it's fascinating. It's a little out there, but that's why we do this. You know, is let's go all the way out there and then rein it in as we learn more. So yeah, that's a really interesting question, one I haven't thought about, but I'll have to start to form my opinion on that as more data and science comes out on that.
Okay. Yeah, Ryan, some of the people you spoke to of their kind of abduction experiences, and I noticed how you were saying how few of them were picking out the ETH possibly as being behind it, and what was it, like an alien abduction experience. They were just saying, well, I've had this crazy experience. Did any of them describe seeing any entities, be it alien or not, but were there any kind of entity types?
Yeah, I mean, most of the people I interviewed, what they saw were dark figures. Now, again, we can trace that back to sleep paralysis and things of that nature, Gogs, but nothing in terms of, you know, seeing 8-foot-tall Nordics or, you know, slithering reptilians. I did not come across any of that in my personal research. I'm not saying that's not out there. I just personally did not find that. I came across instances of the grays, and I came across instances of these small, almost gray-like beings that had monk-like appearance, you know, these robes that they donned. So you have to wonder what that's all about. Is this some sort of ancient civilization? Is this some sort of spiritual entity? I don't know, but I would say that, you know, if we're going to go with these were beings, not, you know, non-human beings of some sort. Mostly what I came across were the grays and these small monk-like creatures, which is fascinating in itself.
Here's a special announcement. The one, the only Paul Kimball will be on After the Paracast this weekend. For more information on subscribing to After the Paracast, go to plus.theparacast.com. plus.theparacast.com. Let's continue with Ryan, Gene, and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast!
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code RADIO at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I don't know what the hell that was.
Well, I don't expect to hear you on Broadway. Now, maybe one of your plays will be produced on Broadway.
Yes, I've got a voice for playwriting, let's put it that way.
It's like I have a face for radio.
Exactly.
He agrees with me.
No, Gene, no.
Actually, the one question that Ryan is afraid to answer. It's from Paul Kimball. Why won't he tell us the truth about the space alien sea monster connection?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I have to admit, guys, this is an inside joke that when I was at the EsoterraCon recently with Paul, you know, whenever he was doing publicity and marketing for the event, he kept going through what everyone was going to be talking about. Greg Bishop and the co-creation, Micah Hanks and magic and the mysticism. And Ryan Sprague is going to be talking about, I don't know, sea creatures, which was not true. I had spent months and months preparing a talk on UFOs and was very, very interested when I got there to hear that I was now going to be talking about sea creatures. He did not make me do that, but, you know, as an inside, you know, retort to all that, when I did go up to give my presentation, I did do an opening slide that was all sea creatures. So threw that one back in his face, but he did allow me to talk about UFOs, which is kind of my bag at this point. That's where the whole sea creature thing comes in terms of Paul's question, I think. But maybe next year, Paul, I will talk about Tramp and Nessie and everything in between. Release the Kraken.
No, it's release the Kraken.
Much better.
That's Ra's al Ghul, the original one, who played that role.
Yes. Not Mr. Neeson, was it?
Well, the one they had on Gotham is the fellow who played the Dr. Bashir on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Alexander Siddig.
Right.
Gene, I will admit I gave up on Gotham after the first few episodes. I just couldn't do it.
Well, they've gotten really deep into the comic book lore, but very much in such a cartoonish way. That,
yeah, and you know, I respect that, but I just couldn't get into it.
It's supposed to be about Batman before he becomes Batman, and you got all this nonsense going on that could just as well have happened after Batman is Batman. It's not showing how Bruce Wayne develops into this so much. It's more about all these crazy, wacky villains, and of course the best one is the guy who plays Penguin. He's great.
Yes, I've heard, yes. And now they even have the Joker in full regale from what I hear. Maybe I'll have to hop back in and see what's going on over there. I just, you know, DC is hit or miss with me. I think they do a wonderful job in terms of their comic books and their CW stuff. But when it comes to the movies, and I will tell you this, I have a very close friend who is part of the Justice League cinematic universe. Love him to death, but oof, man. Did they miss the mark with that one?
Can you tell us who?
Yes, Mr. Ray Fisher, a seasoned theater actor in New York who plays Cyborg.
Sure.
Amazing actor, extremely underused so far in the Justice League universe. I hope he gets his moment to shine with whatever comes next. But I think everyone can agree, they kind of bit off more than they could chew starting with the Justice League and giving us no origin story for any of the other characters. So we'll see what happens. I always have hope for DC. I love their characters, and I wish Ray all the best with continued success with that. He's a great supporter of my playwriting career. You know, when all else failed and no one came to my plays, he was in there in the audience cheering me on. So, you know, yay Cyborg. That's all I have to say about that.
When you do a presentation before an audience, can you preview kind of what you tell us? Do you have one specific kind of lecture you deliver, or do you do something custom for every one you give?
That's a great question. The only talks I have given that have been different were, I do have my main UFO talk that I give right now, sort of based around the book, really, really focusing on the individuals and their stories and how it changed their lives. That's my main talk, the one that I gave at this year's EsoterraCon. But the only other talk I've given was about triangles throughout the world, not in terms of craft or UFOs, but, you know, starting with the Bermuda Triangle and working my way out to other mysterious triangles throughout the world. You know, we have them in Japan, we have them in Massachusetts, we have them all over the world that, you know, these weird things are happening. Planes are going down. The ships are sinking. Paranormal activity, high strangeness. This whole idea of, are we making these areas triangles and shaping the mystery, or are the triangles shaping us? So that's another talk I've given in the past, again, in Nova Scotia. So right now, those are the only two talks that I have really brought to the public and have a really a lot of excitement about. So
Hey, yeah. Ryan, these triangles you are talking about, are they all equilateral triangles, or do they sometimes come in, you know, like isosceles triangles? I'm not being funny, but when we see things like the Bermuda Triangle and stuff, it's always a triangle of three equal angles. Were you finding that in any other identified triangles that are in the weird side of things?
You know, Gogs, I wanted to really put that stark angular shape to these things, but I think that's where, you know, the cultural impact of these things really come into play, and individuals make the triangles. You know, maybe something weird happened in this area, and then a little bit off to, you know, the northeast this happened, a little southwest this happened. Let's put a triangle around that, and it falls within that triangle. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the conclusions I came to with that talk, is that it had a lot more to do with us shaping the triangle rather than the other way around. So in terms of like an exact shape, no, that might be sobering and disappointing, but I think the mysteries within these areas were intriguing themselves.
Yeah, there's the Bridgewater Triangle, of course, up in the northeast.
Yes, I actually interviewed the gentleman who does a lot of research there in my talk, and the Bridgewater one is absolutely fascinating. I mean, you have everything from cryptids to ghosts to evil Native American spirits, you know, exacting revenge, and UFOs being sighted and reported there by local news anchors, and everything you can possibly think of is within the
Bridgewater. That would be a great TV show. The Bridgewater Triangle, and it'd be a bit like the X-Files, and that every week could be some crazy different paranormal thing. I think I've read some stuff about there, and there's some strange little troll-like creatures that would follow people and cause. Do you know the ones I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about. Those have been reported as well. These like strange little impish characters, trickster-like in their motives. It's crazy. I don't know why it happens there, but again, you have ancient burial sites of Native Americans. This could have a lot to do with it. You supposedly had satanic rituals occurring there in the past, and just everything you could possibly think of. What it is, I don't know, but something strange is definitely happening in Bridgewater. I think it would make for a very interesting television docuseries or fictional program as well.
We've got a whole lot of distance to travel and very, very little time to do it. We've got the one, the only Gogs and Mackay, the one, the only Ryan Sprague, and that other guy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Triangular Paracast!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The G7 Economic Summit ends in Quebec, Canada, Saturday, with the member nations issuing a joint communique. Here's the British Prime Minister, Theresa May.
What you will see in the communique is agreed language in relation to trade. What you'll see in the communique is agreed language in relation to Russia.
But after President Trump leaves the summit early to head to Singapore for his Tuesday summit with North Korea's leader, he tweets that he doesn't endorse that G7 statement signed by the six other countries.
The president also blasted Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for announcing retaliation measures against the U.S. for tariffs after Trump had left the summit. Again, President Trump now on his way to Singapore for the summit with Kim Jong-un, who is already there having touched down a few hours ago, and more than 2,500 journalists have also set up in Singapore. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention! Sorry I'm talking a little loud because I want to reach people with a hearing problem. Do you want to hear better for just $299? Yes, not thousands, but for $299. You can hear all the sounds you've been missing for years. Hearing Help Express has been helping people hear better, selling top-quality hearing aids for over 30 years. Now is your best chance to hear better with hearing aids for $299 with our free 45-day home trial offer. And you don't even need to leave your home or get a hearing test. Call now to start your free 45-day risk-free home trial offer. All it takes is a free hearing consultation. Learn how Hearing Help Express can improve the quality of your life with better hearing. Call now.
800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. That's 800-516-7448.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, is this show really a triangle? You know, we had a forum set up early on in the history of the Paracast where we specialize strictly...
I found quite a few for you to choose from. Power, Star Show, Power Rangers, 2017 movie, Power Rangers, ABC show, Lego Friends, The Power of Friendship, Disney Channel show, Absolute Power, 1997 movie,
what?
Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
That is Siri got caught up in it. We have Black Triangles 4 that was set up here back in about 2007, and there was a whole bunch of interesting sightings, and the person who sponsored it and the person who brought that to us kind of sort of left the field and left the forums. And I haven't heard from him again, and it kind of died out. So is this kind of resurrected? I think when we hear about UFO sightings, we seem to hear about those a little bit more these days. Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we do hear about the triangles being reported a lot more frequently than we do saucers anymore, or egg-shaped crafts, or rectangular craft. I think it is the new and improved version of this phenomenon, and it's been that way for a while now. I mean, we could relate it even to our own stealth craft. You know, is it ours that people are seeing? For my own personal sighting, Gene, I do believe what I saw was some advanced technology made here on Earth. I can be completely honest about that, but that's not to say that what other people are seeing was not extraterrestrial in origin or non-human, but we do hear a lot more about triangles than we do anything else, in my opinion. What do you think, Gogs?
Yeah, I'd felt for a while that actually the last 10 years, it seems to, that actual sightings of structured craft seemed to have gone down, or the ones properly photographed or something, and it was more lights in the night sky, and I was actually decrying the almost like the end of when's there going to be a good close-up saucer sighting or a close encounter of the third kind where they start cooking cakes and things like that and silliness. And I just don't know if it's been reported and stuff for as much as it maybe was in the past. But then again, then I remind myself, well, you know, there's so much going on in places like South America and Brazil, and, you know, just half the material that's reported isn't translated, and because of that, we don't kind of tend to read it. So I think, you know, but definitely in the south of England, I think probably in the last 10 years, I would definitely have heard of more triangles than saucer objects, for sure.
Me too. Most of the triangular sightings I've come across were in Europe or, you know, in countries surrounding Europe as well. Yeah, that's a good point, too. We often look at these phenomena from very Western eyes. You know, what's happened here in the United States, when in Mexico it is fully embraced and talked about, and there's some of the best cases have come out of there. So you do have to wonder why we always look to the United States for reports and whatnot. Or you have someone, you know, looking at it in Canada, someone like Chuck and what he's doing in Canada there with reporting UFOs. So, yeah. I think you're right in terms of triangles have sort of faded, and we're now seeing a lot more very interesting, evolved sightings coming. Plasmas, orbs, things of this nature. Again, is this an evolution in the phenomenon? Is it just taking a different mask or shape to it? I don't know, but yeah, I would say that sightings of structured shaped craft have definitely gone down.
What is that telling us, Ryan, in terms of sightings, that so-called structured craft has gone down? Does that mean our cultural expectations have changed? Obviously, Stan Friedman would probably tell us, well, E.T. is sending off different craft now.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with Stanton, and I would also disagree with him. You know, I don't think that they are necessarily changing their craft because we've seen too many of them or anything like that. I think, again, this whole idea of the co-creation hypothesis comes to mind, and where I think Bishop is on the right track, that we evolve with the phenomenon. Whatever we perceive, whatever we think it might be, it's amorphous. It shapes into that. So once this idea gets running, you know, look at Kenneth Arnold and the flying saucers. Everyone saw him after that. Once this idea gets running of the orbs or these balls of energy or, you know, these sort of spherical objects come into play, that's where it runs to. That's where it sees and feeds off of that. So I think culture is a big part of all this, and sociology, and that we are helping to create the phenomenon we're seeing. I really do believe that is an avenue to go towards.
God, if we really play such a part in it, then why are guys like Gene and myself not seeing anything? Like, I'd really like to see a UFO. So how do I make myself play this part? I'm very willing to play my part in creating something, you know, my bit of co-creating, but I can't get it to happen yet.
That's funny, Gogs. Yeah, I mean, what is that saying? You know, seeing is believing, but believing isn't always seeing. Something like that. You know, I do feel that a lot of this is dropped into the laps of the witness and the experiencer. You know, they're not out there searching the skies every night for these things. They just happen to see it. Maybe they sort of glimpsed that veil and were shown something in just a brief moment of time, whereas those searching for it their entire lives may see nothing. I don't know. You know, when I was 12, I saw something. I don't personally believe it was extraterrestrial, but it could have been. And it set me on this path to look into that possibility. But I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, would you want to be abducted or do you want to see something? And I say, I will tell them I've seen something and I don't ever want to see something again. So I guess it's that whole idea of it being a gift and a curse at times as well.
I mean, if I was in your shoes, Ryan, I would probably be equally happy with if that flat flying triangle had been aliens or it was humans who had super advanced anti-gravity tech. Both of those kind of answers, explanations are equally interesting that for me it'd be just amazing to think that, you know, whether it's secret and whether it will ever be made public, just to think that humans have created anti-gravity technology, because to me then it follows that over coming centuries, that, you know, humans will go out and expand into the universe, you know, hopefully creating a Star Trek or Star Wars type kind of federation or universe where we meet other planets and we build out and out. And I think, you know, creating faster than light travel or almost like free energy type stuff, I think that's the first step really on getting away from planet Earth. For me, even if the aliens are not here, but we are that advanced, albeit secretly, I'd be very happy to know either of those things.
I agree. I think, you know, that aspiration of this advanced technology that people are seeing, you know, it is a projection of what we want, what we strive to be. And is that this whole idea of the other, of the alien, of this advanced civilization, is it us projecting what we want on this planet or what we hope to be someday? And, you know, are we just putting that mirror of the alien onto ourselves being, look, this is what we could be? I find that very fascinating and, like you said, exciting. No matter if it is theirs or ours or both, that is very interesting and invigorating to think that we could tap into free energy or anti-gravity. That's awesome. And if that's what these craft are displaying, then that's exciting in itself, even if it isn't ET or interdimensional or us from the future. Maybe it's just a projection of what we could do. And again, that's just as exciting to me as anything else.
Well, this feels exciting, and we're going to have one more segment with Ryan Sprague to keep us going and maybe predict something for the future. With Gene, Ryan, and Goggs, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Goggs is trying to imitate Nick Redfern. Will he succeed?
That was Ryan.
If you can believe it.
I can't believe anything. There is nothing to believe. Anyway. Now, this has been really fascinating, but let's look at this in the future. So we have sort of almost young whippersnappers like Ryan Sprague, at least a guy in his 30s, some young people coming into the field. What do we do to get other people, young people, to look at what's going on?
I think that we have to really look at what younger people are interested in these days, Gene, and, you know, that's the internet, that's media, that's pop culture, that's Instagram. It's all these things that really connect the world in ways that we didn't have before all this. You know, the days of UFO conferences were the only place you could go to get this information. That's not the case anymore. We can, with the flip of a switch or typing something in on a search engine, we can find endless material on UFOs. And I think that's what the younger people are doing, and that's both good and bad. You know, they're going to get information from less than truthful individuals out there touting certain theories on and taking advantage of people's beliefs. But on the other hand, you're going to find people who are really doing good work out there and really getting solid information to the public. So I think what we really need to do is take advantage of those outlets for the younger generation, you know, whether it be through things that To the Stars and Tom DeLonge are doing. You know, while it's a very controversial thing, I welcome it. I embrace it. I think it's getting a lot of younger people interested in the UFO topic. I have several colleagues who are doing things like that as well. You know, filmmakers like Jeremy Corbell, who is making documentaries left and right about Skinwalker Ranch and Bob Lazar and all these things that younger people don't know about, and putting it in a new, fresh lens and outlet and medium. So if we really want to get to the younger people, I think we have to find new ways of showing them what this topic is all about and then build off of that. I come from that cusp of millennial, so I know about what was before the internet, but I also know how it can benefit us all. So I think to get younger people involved, We just have to show them that younger people are involved. And I think that's the most important thing. I'm going to keep doing my part to get younger people interested whenever I go to conferences and see younger people out there. I want to talk to them. I want to get their thoughts on what these things are and what they think they could be and see if they want to join me on this journey. Maybe I'm building a small army. That's not really something I want to do, but if that's how it's going to go, I'm all for that.
I wonder if we could leverage something like a Comic-Con to get some interest going there. Of course, that might require a lot of money.
That's a really good idea, and I know individuals are doing that. You know, I'm speaking at AlienCon here in California next week, where a lot of young people are in attendance. And the reason I think they wanted me there is because I am a young, fresh face in this field, and I have things to contribute to the topic. So why not? Why not get younger people attracted to that idea that this stuff is for real? You know, this isn't the X-Files. This isn't some fictional television show. These are individuals who are serious about a topic that could change humanity. Or you have, you know, friends of mine who are speaking in Denver Comic-Con in a few weeks as well, who are going to be talking on a panel about UFOs. So right there, Gene, they are doing what you said and getting it out to a new audience that's never even thought about this topic. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with the theater world as well, is write plays about UFOs and get this topic out to people who would never think twice about it and are pretty open-minded. You know, I would say the theater crowd is more open-minded and liberal than most. So why not try to attack them with UFOs? I think it's not been done that many times before, and I think it's only the beginning.
Or create a TV show and Greg Berlanti, one of the highest paid TV producers in the business, will produce it. He just signed a new 6-year deal with DC, with Warner Brothers, for $300 million.
Oof, what do I give for even a portion of that?
If you were able to get a decent UFO show, and they're going to bring back, what was it, Roswell or something? One of those older TV shows is going to get a reboot.
Yes, I believe you're right. It is the Roswell show.
Right. Well, that might have some hope because it's going to be that kind of CW style.
Well, and another big thing with, you know, in terms of media, Gene, is I've been tapped for endless amounts of these UFO roadshows where you go out and investigate cases and report back to headquarters, Bill Burns style, but they never pan out. And I think these networks, they have this idea of this is cool, this is new, this is fresh, but it isn't. It's been done time and time again. And when they really sit down and look at, can we investigate current cases of UFOs? It's not easy. We know with this phenomenon, once it's cited and reported, it's usually already gone. So what's the purpose of trying to go out and investigate when the thing already happened? And we can't monitor it. You know, they get cold feet, and that's when the shows never pan out. So TV is kind of a dying industry, and I think we need to really look at new ways of looking at these things. You know, web television, YouTube, streaming services. Can we create these shows ourselves with younger people involved and attract younger people and get them involved? I think that's a way to go as well. And if we're looking at new media, TV's dead. Let's look towards the future.
Well, I'm looking here. The reboot of Roswell will be a teen-oriented show on the CW. I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to attract teens to UFOs, but it's
going to
be
related to the original one, Gene.
Well, the original one had a lot of people who became kind of famous afterwards. For example, Katherine Heigl was on that show, and Colin Hanks, who's the son of course, Tom Hanks, and William Sadler was on there. Adam Rodriguez, you'll recognize from Criminal Minds.
Yeah, you know, that was one I never got into, Gene. But, you know, again, just that buzzword Roswell brings up so many different ideas, and hopefully the younger people that are going to watch this are going to Google Roswell and see what happened in 47. And again, that's that whole idea of truth and fiction. Is this the way to go to get the message out about Roswell through a fictional show? And we struggle with that every time a TV show comes out about UFOs or aliens or what Tom DeLonge is doing in terms of writing fictional books about apparently truthful events in ufology. It's a debate that will go down forever, and maybe we'll get small disclosures within that, but it's frustrating. I don't know what to make of all of that as well. You know, what lies between the truth and the fiction, and will it help or hurt ufology?
By the way, there's going to be a TV show called Blue Book on the History Channel, executive produced by Robert Zemeckis, among others, and it's going to be about Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
Cool.
Yes, I'm excited about that, and I know a biography just came out recently about J. Allen Hynek that I can't recommend enough, and that there are some possible biopic and or one-man show plays that could be coming in the future about Mr. Hynek. There you go right there, tapping into new avenues and bringing forth one of the icons in ufology.
All right, quickly speaking here, for those who want to find more of what Ryan Sprague has done and is doing, where do we go?
All of my work, Gene, can be found right at somewhereintheskies.com.
Making it simple, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. I do post on Twitter, not that often, because they're all following me around. I feel paranoid because I know everybody's out to get me. I didn't want to say that. We have two Facebook communities, groups, whatever, fan clubs, Paracast fan clubs. Check it out. Also check out the Paracast Plus, because you get the app for the Paracast podcast, uncensored, uninhibited. You also get a version of the show free of the network ads, which means those who complain about us on Facebook, so many ads, they can get rid of them if they subscribe. Prices start at just $1.49 a week, our price cheap, cheaper than the coffee at the Circle K convenience store. And we have lifetime subscriptions too, 5 years, and Ryan's offering Somewhere in the Skies autograph for a 5-year subscription and a lifetime subscription, both to Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Check it out. Ryan Sprague, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure. 10 years in the making. Gogs, Gene, thank you so much. It was an honor.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000,
years, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.